Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, where we talk about a subject that unites us all. We're talking humility, we're talking vulnerability, we're talking embarrassment.
Each week, we'll share our embarrassing stories and yours, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're here to entertain you, drop your jaw, definitely make you cringe, and of course, laugh. So sit back, relax, and get ready to listen with us.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red. So how was your week?
Okay, my week was great. I think I was telling you that I've been watching The Golden Bachelor, and that has been my week. I'm obsessed.
I need to get into that.
You do. It's it is a documentary.
It sounds so wholesome. Like, I've never watched The Bachelor, but I mean, I think I would watch The 7-Year-Old Bachelor.
There's
because
a spoiler.
It just sounds so sweet. Okay, so spoiler. Don't, if you're gonna watch
never
it,
never mind.
You don't
I won't
hear
tell
this.
You. No.
Yeah. Let's keep it. Let's keep it.
Yeah.
It's just really.
It'll
good.
Have been the finale for like a million years once this
it's
airs.
It's really sweet. Is it already on the finale?
No, it's on episode 5. Okay. Really good. Highly recommend. How has your week been? What's been going on?
My week has been good. I feel like it flew by. This is going to be, we're way ahead of the game here by the time this airs. But Halloween's around the corner.
Yep.
Figured out my Halloween costume. Very excited about
that.
Yes. And trying to get my makeup looks together for it. Going to a couple of parties.
You're
going to
be amazing.
On Saturday. It's going to be fun.
You're going to look so good.
Are you dressing up this year?
No.
No.
I'm wearing a shirt that has a pumpkin on it and my son's an avocado, so.
Well, that's pretty cute.
We're not, yeah. He's doing all the work this year. He's really representing us this year.
And he's representing California.
Yeah.
He's representing beloved, California. Beloved in California.
Yeah.
Beloved.
All right. I'm going to go first this week, and I decided to go with the scariest of audition stories from Los Angeles town.
Ooh, this is your story.
This is my story.
I can't wait.
And I have been, a little backstory, I've been auditioning for 20 years for commercials and everything else. And commercial auditions are their own subcategory of embarrassing story. Like, everybody has had an embarrassing commercial audition. They are one-minute circuses. Like, they don't, you don't know what you're going to go into. You know that you're, like, dressed up as jogger number 2, but you don't know what they're going to ask you to do in there.
Super
you
know awkward.
Mean? Oh, yeah. I mean,
they're like, pretend take a bite of this pizza, like, dumb stuff like
they're,
that.
Well, that, they're like, hey, interesting that you were just like reading Hamlet in the waiting room. Why don't you come in and just bump and grind with 3 strangers? And they're like balls slap up against your back, and you're like, ah, and then you leave, and it's for like laundry detergent.
No.
So this story, I was auditioning for Jogger Number 2, huh? And which means I'm like the sassy best friend jogger. I'm not the lead. I'm not the hero, as they call you. I am the sassy best friend. And we get in there, and they're like, okay, you know, I'm paired with a stranger. Say hello. And then they're like, okay, you're going to jog through the frame a couple of times, and then you're going to run into an invisible car and hit the ground. And then you're going to do some improv. You're going to get up.
Stop
and I was
it.
Like, okay. No, we just, and then we look at each other like, let's do this. This is what you do when you audition
you
for commercials.
You jog and you run into an invisible car.
You jog, run into an invisible car, do some improv. And I should say, as a side note, I'm not good at improv ever. When I am asked to improv in a commercial audition, like if I'm playing a waitress and I have to approach a table, my improv will be like, okay, let's not all have food allergies this week. You know what I mean? And they're like, cut. What? You know? So we're doing it. We practice it once. Hitting the ground hurts a little bit, but then we improv our way up and
so
whatever.
So did you act like the car hit you or you
no,
hit
you
the
just,
car, you ran into it?
The
like,
car
what was
parked
situation?
There and it's invisible.
But you hit it with your body.
Yeah, and that's how we figure out it's there. It's for Honda. It was a Honda commercial. Like, I don't remember the campaign because I didn't get it. Let's just spoiler alert right there. So anyway, we run to the car, fall backwards, and I instantly fart on the ground.
No, you did not.
Yeah, I farted so loud, and it didn't stop. I farted again.
Stop it.
No. So just in case there was any doubt that the sound was coming from me, I doubled down. And then I improvised. I looked at this stranger, and I'm like, Carla, I thought you spoke. I told you you had to use the can before we left. So basically,
so you tried to blame it on the other girl, which is also
so basically. I made the commercial audition about a fart. Like,
what did she do? Was she like, "How dare you blame your fart on me?"
They were like dead silent.
And you didn't laugh?
Oh, I think that
with the two farts,
the director was laughing. Not the director, the person running the session was laughing, and she was just like, you know, what are you going to say?
Was it a loud one? Was it a squeaker?
It was like an earthquake, Katie. It was an earthquake. California earthquake.
It was a California earthquake. That's so amazing.
I didn't get it, but I like to say I lived to read another breakdown.
You did. I love that you literally tried to blame it on me.
I was like, Carla. I like made a Chicago accent. So not only
did she look at you like, how dare you?
She was like, who's Carla? Like her and her face was like, huh? I mean, I made a little backstory that like everyone from Chicago farts because I had this crazy Chicago accent to the character. Oh my God.
That Dumb. Is impressive. Dumb. I'm proud of you.
Are you? Why?
Because you handled that like so smooth. I don't even know what I would do.
Wait,
I mean,
handled it smooth.
You
I,
did. Like, you, first of all, you're like, okay.
Inappropriately.
Not Carla, how dare you? It's you.
I did try to pass it off, but I had to, I mean, it was clear, loud and clear where the sound was coming from inside my building.
That's fantastic.
Oh my God.
Okay. This one is nuts. Okay.
I'm so excited.
So first up, I have an email from Tessa from Omaha, Nebraska, and she writes, names have definitely been changed, but after you hear my story, you'll understand why. I had been dating my boyfriend, Sam, for about a month, and I felt like we were finally ready to go all the way.
Ooh.
I was kind of nervous because I really liked him, but our chemistry had been amazing up until this point, so I figured he would be good in bed, too. It was Friday night, and Sam had planned a beautiful date for us. I got off work, came home, and quickly showered, shaved, gotta shave, yeah, and got shave. Ready as I anxiously awaited his arrival. He planned the evening, and I was along for the ride. He ended up taking me out for a Thai food dinner. The meal was delicious, but super spicy, and I was sweating by the end of it. We have all been there.
We have been there.
I freshened up my makeup in the bathroom and got over the heat, ready to heat things up with my man. I asked him if he wanted to go back to my place, and I gave him the it's time look. He eagerly agreed, and we headed to my place. We opened up a bottle of wine and started making out on the couch. I could tell he was ready, so I took his hand and led him to my bedroom. We started off missionary style, and everything was going beautifully. He was as good in bed as I had hoped and imagined, and I wanted to impress him too. After a few minutes, I asked if he wanted me to get on top. He said sure, and he shifted underneath me. This Nebraska cowgirl went for it and was riding him for dear life.
Whoa!
Go, girl.
Go get the rodeo.
Just as I was experiencing a beautiful release, I realized another release was happening. I guess it was the spicy Thai food, maybe combined with the magnesium pills I just started taking.
No.
But mid-orgasm, I realized I had squirted a teaspoon-sized dollop of diarrhea right on his nuts. This writing is amazing. A teaspoon-sized dollop of diarrhea.
So terrible.
Right on his nuts.
That's like, oh my God.
Can you even imagine? I mean, what do you do? What do you do?
Oh, I don't know. You have to like burn the house down.
I was horrified and froze saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Now he was really concerned and said, what is it? What's wrong? I said, just don't move. Stay right there. And I ran to grab a towel and clean him up. I quickly wiped it off and I told him to go get in the shower. He asked what happened and I told him, I think I started my period because I couldn't bear to tell him that I had literally shit on him. Years later, I'm happy to say that he's my husband
and he
now knows the truth of what happened that night. He thinks it's hilarious and whenever we go through anything tough, he reminds me, babe, you've literally shit on me. We can get through anything.
That's a sweet ending.
How
to that.
Sweet is that?
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Can you imagine pooping I on can't. Someone during no, sex?
And also like the whole scenario of like riding the rodeo, like getting into it.
She was like, I got to impress this guy. Like I got to impress him.
Cowgirl.
She cowgirled herself into a bowel movement. That is amazing. That is
incredible. I love the technical
incredible.
Term at the end. Into Tessa, a bowel movement.
Tessa,
thank you. Oh,
hats
God,
off to you, Tessa. Yeah. And also, that is your man. That is your man.
Yeah.
You can go through anything. You've pooped on him.
You pooped on him,
and it was not something he wanted.
That is layers of years, too. It's to compare certain things, like she just like fast-forwarded their relationship so much further than just like, this is the first time we have sex. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's like, do you trust me?
I think I would be I would be so scared to have sex the next time. I'd be like, oh my God, is this going to happen
again? I would never
again?
Eat like, spicy food before.
Never again. Mm-mm. But I would be like, oh my God, am I going to poop every time now.
You'd be in your head about it.
I'd be so scared. I'd be like, yeah.
You're like in therapy, like, and then I just can't. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
trust my butt.
You need some therapy after that one for sure. For sure.
Oh, my God. I love that. Yay, Tessa. Thank you. Okay. So another audition story. I have auditioned for Grey's Anatomy, I want to say 20 times. It's something. It's a thing for me.
20 times?
20 times. It's been on 15 years and it has 300 episodes. So it's like for me, you know, teacher over here.
It's been on forever.
It's still on. Wow. It's like their 18th season or something.
Who's the McDreamies and Steamies of today?
Oh, God,
no. No one's on it anymore, Steamies. Right?
Yeah. So, yeah, McSteamy's like 60 years old right now.
He's hot. He's still hot.
Still
He's hot 60.
McDreamy. So anyway, I go in there. I'm auditioning for – no, I'm called in there to audition for a woman who goes into labor in the middle of her scene. So that's something, right? It's Grey's Anatomy. So you know that the stakes are going to be high in certain auditions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I instantly get in my head about, okay, not how should I say this? I'm going to go into labor in the middle of the scene. How bad does labor feel? I am like, should I wear a pillow in my stomach to make it look authentic? That is what
no,
I obsessed
you did
about.
Not.
Yeah. And I went into my acting teacher and I was like, what do you think about this? I paid him $100 to tell me, yes, that'll look very authentic. I'm like, your word is gold. So
he told you to wear a pillow?
He told me to wear a pillow. I wore a pillow around my neighborhood. This is how method actor I went. Not like maybe I should watch some labor videos or like maybe I should try to practice this to make it look natural. But I wore like a pillow around. I went to the grocery store. I went to the bank. I went to like a bar with this pillow in my stomach. And it probably just looked like I had a beer gut or something.
That but is amazing.
It never looked good. It was always up on my chin. It was always like smushed to the left.
But it's like a regular bed pillow.
It's like
a standard pillow. Yeah, it wasn't like a round pillow.
It was
or
a
like
square
a
pillow from like my couch. Yeah, thanks. I wish you had been there.
I wish I was
don't
too.
Don't do this.
I would have told you.
So the time comes, I get into that audition, you know, the waiting room. Other girls are giving me the stiff one eye, and I'm like, you wish you were pregnant because that's.
You wish you had a pillow.
Authentic.
Okay.
I look.
You know, you think I am.
This isn't a pillow. That's what I was just basically thinking the whole time. So they bring me in. I go into Linda Lowy's office. She's sitting there, the scene starts, and I'm like, you know, doctor, tell me what the risks are. And then boom, like right into it. I'm in labor. I'm dilated 6 centimeters. I am like clenching my fists. I am feeling the pain. I am like stifling, you know, like a moan. I'm like sweating. My eyes are clenched shut. And then the scene ends and I hear laughter. And I'm like,
you're like, wait, why are you laughing?
And I open my eyes and I realize that this pillow has busted out of my shirt and it's like dangling between my legs.
You gave birth. You gave birth in the scene.
I gave birth to the pillow and I was just like, oh. And I see on their faces, they're like shaking their heads like, oh my God. They're like looking at each other like, okay, this is, who is this? And I'm like, it's my 20th audition. You know who I am. So as I'm leaving, John Brace, who's the other casting director, is like, oh, always good to see you, Mary Beth. And he got my name wrong. And I remember that was like a kick in the butt on the way out. It was like, not only did I bomb the audition because I decided to wear a stupid pillow as a pregnancy prop, but he said, it's always good to see you, Mary Beth.
How dare he?
But I lived to read another breakdown.
I love your audition stories. They're amazing.
Oh my God, I have a million of them.
So next, I have an email from Belinda from Baltimore, Maryland. And she writes, a few years ago, I was working as a server at this cool casual fusion restaurant in a hip part of town. I know that feeling very well.
Yes.
We've both been servers. We know it. We know it too well. This was a family-owned spot, and the rules were pretty lax, but money was decent, and you could wear what you wanted, so I enjoyed it. This day, I had chosen to wear a floral jumpsuit and docks. Sounds cute.
That does sound cute.
Because I was newer, I was working one of my mandatory boring lunch shifts. We all have to pay our dues, and it was a pretty slow day. The other server had just been cut, and I only had a couple of tables left as it was already 3 p.m. I was due to be cut in an hour, but duty called, and I couldn't wait. I checked in on my remaining two tables and headed to the bathroom to go number two. It felt like it was going to be really quick, so I figured I could be in and out and no one would even notice I was off the floor. Unfortunately, I was wrong, and I was a little constipated.
Oh.
Sometimes I rock and sing on the toilet when I'm trying to squeeze one out.
What? This just took a turn.
This took a turn. I know it's kind of weird, but don't judge me.
It's like the David Lynch poop.
Rocking and singing. I know it's kind of weird, but don't judge me. Journey was blaring on the restaurant speakers, so I was singing along, eyes closed, and rocking back and forth to get it out.
So crazy.
The imagery.
I love it.
Is amazing. Yeah. Everybody does weird things. Okay.
Of course.
I had been in there for about 10 minutes and it was smelling pretty bad.
Oh.
As I was almost finished, I heard the door opening and opened my eyes to see my horrified customer staring at me in disbelief.
The one she was waiting on.
I guess in my haste to go, I'd forgotten to lock the bathroom door.
Oh no.
If you remember earlier, I mentioned that I was wearing a jumper. So not only was I pooping, rocking back and forth and singing, I was also fully naked and my titties were flapping around.
That patron got an eyeful.
Both of our jaws dropped. I tried to cover myself up and I screamed, "Occupied!" Which was pretty obvious at this point, but it was the first thing that came out. He said, "I know," and quickly shut the door to head back to his table, which unfortunately was also my table.
Oh, no.
There was no one left for me to transfer him to, so I had to suck it up and face him after our awkward encounter.
That is so embarrassing. That is so embarrassing.
Can you imagine? I mean, we've both been servers. I cannot.
Oh, no. I can't imagine.
It's so awkward. I tried to keep my head down and the interaction short, but it was clear that this weirdness had ruined his mood and his date. To make matters worse, he left me a 10% tip, but I couldn't complain because he had smelled my shit.
Okay, you're right. You're right. But you know what?
I was so embarrassed. I never pooped at work again. I mean, that's a hard lesson you got to learn there.
Yeah, but if that happens and you're the customer, you need a tip more.
You would think.
Because
I guess the eyeful that he got with the rocking and the singing scared him. He was like, what is happening?
Gotta go home and throw up. No, I'm just kidding. That's amazing. That's so embarrassing.
And you're naked. You're naked.
Yeah.
You're pooping. I mean, that's a rough combo.
That's a weird Yelp review too. Do you know what I mean?
Really, oh God.
It either makes or breaks the restaurant. I mean, that makes me feel so much better about a lot of the stuff that happened when I was waiting tables. That's a good one.
I know. I'm like, I think of all the embarrassing things when waiting tables and I'm like, I have nothing that tops that. I have nothing that comes close
also,
to that.
Also, just like occupied and his occupied. Face is taking in your boobs. And your poop. Yeah. He's seen everything.
You have no. I mean, what can you do?
Occupied.
What can you do?
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It's such a good one.
Oh, that's a great one. Okay, well, my next one is from my friend Rachel in New York. I reached out to her because she had told me this audition story that she had, and I wanted that one because I wanted to like, grab it. It's such a good one. So.
Okay.
We went to school together. Her name's Rachel. And she wrote, "I was fresh out of college and I moved to New York and got a commercial agent and almost immediately went on my first audition. It was for sunscreen and I was told to wear a sundress with a bikini underneath. I showed up and there was a waiting room full of girls in their sundresses waiting to go in. I chatted up a lot of the girls about how strange it was to be wearing a bikini in January because that's when we were auditioning for this commercial. It was freezing out. I'd taken the subway in a full wool bodysuit and a huge coat, and I changed when I got there. So I go in, and I'm told to pretend to be lying out on the beach, and I'm sort of sitting back pretending the fluorescent lights are the hot Wisconsin summer sun, fanning myself, miming, sipping lemonade with not a care in the world when I hear them say cut. Thinking that's all they need, I start to get up, but then they say, all right, one more with your sundress off and just in your bikini. I froze. How had I missed that they'd want a bikini take? My agent had neglected to tell me this. Not only was my body as pale as the moon, as blinding as a whiteout because it was January New York, but also I was sporting a full natural bush. I looked like I needed hedge clippers down there. I looked like I was trying to suffocate Cousin It with my bikini bottom. Not realizing that, of course, they'd want me in my bathing suit because it was a part of the wardrobe request. I had not shaved anything for this audition. The term fur bikini doesn't begin to describe what I had going on down there.
That is the most terrifying
feeling.
Can
you imagine? Yeah, you're about to unveil. Yeah, oh, my gosh.
And so, what do you do? You have to do it, right? Well, she had to do it.
She wrote, I slowly comply and I do the entire audition again with Bozo the Clown pubes. I made no eye contact with anyone. It was so embarrassing. And needless to say, I didn't get the part.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine?
Oh, that's hard. That's a hard one. That feeling of just like utter terror that comes over you when you realize like you got to be in a bathing suit right now. Well, you're not prepared.
And that's the thing. I mean, girls, you got to go through it to wear a bikini in general. You got to like go wax or go
Look, these days, I feel like there's a lot more leeway, right? Everybody's don't shave your pits. Don't shave your legs. Don't shave whatever. 100%.
Like, you're right. I'm right. I'm like dating. Yeah.
These days,
right.
You can do it. You can totally get away with it. And there's people who embrace it and feel free about it. But I personally am still, I would be. Well, I would feel uncomfortable.
I feel like instantly if it's a commercial audition, like they don't want to see any pubic hair. Like they're just like, takes me out of this, sunscreen commercial. This girl is like a natural beauty from the 70s. So, but that's embarrassing.
It's just fully coming out the sides.
She's like,
it's puffed up and just coming out the sides. Like she's
like Santa,
it's distracting.
Wearing a pandemic mask.
What is happening? Santa wearing a pandemic mask. That's hilarious.
Okay.
Dead.
I'm going to pee my pants.
Don't pee on the couch.
I won't. Sorry. Oh, my God.
Okay, this next story, I think this is maybe the raunchiest one that we've had.
Awesome. I feel like we're all over the board here, though. It's great. We've got like bedroom stories. We've got
a raunchy little sex one here.
Okay, great. Great.
So this is rated X. Okay, rated X. Everybody. This next story is from Angela from South Carolina.
Amazing.
And she writes, I was a senior in high school, and I had been with my high school sweetheart for 3 years when he left to start college about 6 hours away from our hometown. The distance was really hard on us, but we were super in love, so we did our best to make it work. We talked on the phone every night, but it had been about 2 months since we last saw each other. We were both horny teens with crazy high libidos, and my super strict parents wouldn't let me spend the night with him, so we were desperate to be together. Been there, girl.
Oh.
We agreed to meet on a Saturday at a halfway point motel. This was one of those super seedy $50 a night situations, and we basically rented it for the afternoon. I told my parents I was meeting up with some girlfriends and borrowed my mom's station wagon for the 3 hour drive.
Station wagon.
Station wagon. Yeah. Amazing.
3 hour drive. Wow.
Yeah, because she said he was 6 hours away and they met in the middle.
That's wild.
I know. Like,
She's a senior
in high school, like taking the station wagon 3 hours out to a motel. Yeah, I mean, that's impressive, I have to say.
Impressive.
I think I would be a little scared, right? Maybe? No, maybe not. I mean, I was doing some scandalous things.
Oh.
You're not going to listen to this, Mom.
I can't wait to hear those stories.
We both arrived safely at the motel and immediately couldn't keep our hands off of each other. The room was pretty gross and probably cockroach infested, but we couldn't afford anything nicer and we were so horny, we didn't even care. It had been so long since we'd been together and we were doing everything under the sun and having a great time. It was like we were making up for the last 2 months and also trying to save up extra for the months to come. After copious amounts of sex and finger banging, he asked me to sit on his face.
Okay.
As I inched my thighs forward towards his chin and raised myself up, all of the air from the previous finger banging released and reverberated on his neck in a giant queef. He looked at me startled and said, "What was that? Did you just fart on my neck?"
Record scratch.
I burst out laughing and I couldn't even form a sentence. And with the laughter, I actually did fart on his neck several times. He said, "Ew," and pushed me off of him, but started laughing as well. We were super close, so while it was really embarrassing, we got through it.
Oh, God.
The mood was ruined after that, and we decided to cut our losses and go to the Waffle House before heading home. I wonder how long they stayed together after that.
Me too. I want to know.
They've been together for like 3 years. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's a long time, but that's really funny. I mean, queefs will ruin the mood real fast. A queef is never a good time.
No, it's just also like,
there's nothing you could do about it. It's natural. It comes out of nowhere.
It's like a perfect storm, though, because you're like, oh, this is going to be kinky, and then all of a sudden
they were building all that air and going at it, and then she just let out a big old queef on his neck.
That is,
and then some farts. There was a lot of air built up there. There was a lot of air happening.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah, that ruins stuff the mood.
Doesn't happen
that's
to guys.
Gonna,
doesn't happen that, to guys.
Yeah, they're not queefing out of
they're
there.
They're not. So crazy. That is. I bet. You know what? In the first story, they got together. They married. I wonder if these people are married.
It doesn't sound like
that,
it.
No, I
it
think that was like it.
Maybe that was the end of it. That was like, okay, all right.
But there, it takes two to tango. Do you know what I mean?
It takes
two to
queef, basically. He caused it. He started it.
Yeah.
You know? That's what
that
happens.
Is amazing, though. I want to see that in like a horror movie. You know?
A horror
like
queef?
A seedy motel. And like, oh, there's always sex scenes in horror movies. And then all of a sudden, like,
just
that
a massive
happens.
Queef on the neck in the horror movie.
Just, like, yeah, just brutally murdered. Whoa.
Death by queef.
Oh, I think we should write the script. Let's pitch it.
All
that
right.
is so funny. So this is another audition story that happened to me. I'm sort of feeling cathartic that I can just tell these stories. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah,
just so...
it's good to get it out because it's
really funny to
it's
remember.
Like, you carry so much shame, like, your whole life, like, thinking about these things. And then when you actually talk about it, it's like, it happens to people. It's
yeah.
natural. Like, it, like, there's nothing you can do about it.
There's
you can't
nothing.
Control it. Like, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And, like, somebody else can relate to it and, like, yeah. get over the shame and just embrace that, like,
right.
it happened.
And
like,
if it
happened.
Makes you
and
laugh
it's funny.
While
like,
you're,
who cares?
Yeah. If it makes you laugh while you're painting your bed. Bedroom, great, amazing. That mission accomplished. So this, I auditioned for Charmed a lot. Did you ever watch that show?
No. Was that the Sarah Michelle Gellar? Or no, that was Buffy.
It was with Alyssa Milano.
Okay.
And Rose McGowan. It was on
yes.
for a long time.
I know what
time.
It is, but I didn't watch it. Yeah.
Well, I auditioned for it, and it's a fantasy, you know, show about witches and warlocks and mm-hmm. a bunch of stuff. But I didn't have a TV for 20 years, so I don't really know what it's about either. That's probably why I didn't ever book it. But moving on. I went in this time two producers. So they're like maybe 10 people in there. Maybe like five, but whatever. And I was playing a witch. And all I remember is that this witch had a talisman and she wanted it back. Someone stole it from her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the whole, like, the script is a blur, but like, I just remember me being like, I want my talisman. Give me my talisman. Like, I said it over and over. And so I'm in there doing it. And
you nailed it, by the way.
Oh.
Like, that was, if I've ever heard
what?
A witch, that was it right
Thank
there.
Thank you.
Okay?
Well, I chose
they're
a gravelly
lost.
Voice.
They're lost. Yeah.
I feel like the Batman
you just
had
terrified me.
To just come out.
So they're lost. Yeah. You were you were Batwoman just then.
Give me my talisman. Well, that was a bad line reading. Give me my talisman. So anyways, end of the audition, that they just say, do you sing? And there's no singing in the scene. There's no singing in the character. They just say, out of the darkness of
out
producers.
Out of the coolness of their hearts.
Do you sing?
Who does that? Why?
Like,
why?
Well,
why?
In my mind, I screamed. But
yeah.
You know, because I sing with the windows closed with my guitar
because
very quietly.
Because they were witches. That's why.
Because
they were absolute
they
witches.
They were
like, what's the most witchy thing we could do
or
right
I mean,
now? Make this
yeah.
make this girl sing.
Let's
right
make
now.
Her sing. Let's just, we need a little
on the spot,
pick me up.
Do you sing?
Yeah. And I was like, yes. Because you just say
You just
that,
say yes.
Though. You just say
it's
yes.
It's improv. You have
it's
to say yes.
It's the child actress in me
say
being
yes.
like, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes, and.
I'll do that. Uh-huh. So I said yes. And they're like, great. Give me a few bars of one of your favorite songs. And I launch into the first thing that comes to my mind, which is the Aretha Franklin version of You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman.
Ooh,
and I just go like,
you went
ba-na-na-na,
for it.
Looking out on a morning ray. Whoa. I did the piano intro with my voice, and then I did the backup singers with my voice.
That's amazing.
Like, whoa. And then
you
I
did all of it.
Instantly heard, thank you. Which a little backup story, a little information.
But literally the witch didn't even have to sing.
When you're in audition and you hear, thank you, it's like, they're done with you. You're done.
They're like,
get off the stage.
Yeah.
So I heard
that's
like,
their version of a giant hook just pulling you off.
Oh,
like, that's
it's
it.
Like,
curtain call, yeah. Bye-bye.
It's like marbles falling down from the ceiling and you're going to stumble your way out of there. They want you to fall off the stage.
They can't see you gone fast enough.
They want you to disappear. If they were just, witches, they would have
yeah.
just disappeared me.
Just unalive yourself in front of us right now. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So I, Aretha Franklin'd my way into another rejection. But I lived to read another
breakdown. I wish you would have done like a ba 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 da 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 off the stage and like actually like danced and sung your way like
a goodbye. I should have. Like shuffled off to Buffalo with jazz hands and like out of array.
Yeah.
And just like a frozen smile.
A little step kick.
So creepy.
But also you were a witch who wasn't even singing. That was just cruel. They're like, oh, do you sing? Yeah. Oh, sing for us.
I think
Dance Monkey Dance is what they did to you.
Yeah. They like fired gunshots at my feet and I was like dancing. Yeah. So that was it. And then, you know, it is what it is. They didn't laugh. I didn't hear laughter at the end of that one. I saw like disgust.
And you didn't fart. So that was
nope.
a win.
Nope. Didn't fart. So yeah, no pillow exploded out of my shirt. I just sang a terrible version of a song.
So I have another story.
Yay.
This next story is from Alyssa from California. And she writes, in my 20s, I went through a major fitness moment and I was working out like crazy. I was running like 6 times a week, but I still wasn't seeing the results that I wanted, and a friend recommended that I hire her personal trainer. Besides being really good at his job, he was also super hot, like the kind of hot that makes you sweat just being around him.
Whoa.
That's hot. I was kind of
its own training.
That's like its own thing. I was kind of intimidated and nervous to work with him, but he was great at sculpting and the results spoke for themselves, so I decided to give it a whirl. I booked my first session and anxiously awaited the date to arrive. He was very popular, so his first availability for a new client was a couple of weeks out. I tried my best to get in even better shape before our first meeting. That's like going to the gym to go to the gym.
It's cleaning
like,
your house before the housekeeper.
Exactly. All those things. He was even better looking in person, and I tried not to stare too intently. He flashed me a dimply 1,000-watt smile, and I melted. We started off with weight training, a medicine ball, burpees, and lots of other intense sprinting and relays. Yuck.
Yeah, no.
Have you ever had a trainer? I've had a trainer before. It's not fun. It's terrible. In my 20s, too. I relate to this.
I'm like the person on the like balance ball at the gym just staring at everyone else.
I hate the gym. I haven't been to the gym in forever, but when I did go, I did have a trainer at one point.
I roll out my back for like 30 minutes, and I go home.
Yeah. I thought I was in decent shape, but this workout was making me feel otherwise. I felt like I was going to puke, but my desire to impress this man was so strong that I held it all back. Oh, Lord. I gave it 110% and he did seem impressed. I barely held it together and finished the workout and was so proud of myself and was relieved that I had done it. He explained the importance of stretching after a workout and asked if it was okay if he helped me stretch. I agreed and laid down on the mat. I tingled with anticipation as he picked up my leg, then he quickly bent it and thrust it towards my chest. The force of this push against my abdomen caused me to let out the loudest fart.
Oh my God.
It's basically on him,
too.
There's
a theme here.
There's a fart theme. I was mortified. I felt my face flush red and hot, and I stammered, I'm so sorry. I don't know how that happened. He was very professional and smiled and said, it's okay. It's totally natural with all this movement. I clenched every muscle in my body to finish the stretching, said goodbye, and hurried away. He was great, but I never booked another session because I could not face him after that.
That's funny. I don't blame you. She farted and ran.
You basically like farted on him, you know, like this.
Well, I'm sure that happens to him all the time.
Yeah, just like in people farting yoga all the time, like those positions.
Yeah, or in gym class in sixth grade.
Yeah.
When you have to do the push-up tests.
Did you fart during the push-up test?
No, but someone always did. You know
someone
what I mean?
Someone always did.
The sit-ups.
Yeah, the yoga, the movements. So stretching, somebody thrusting your leg into your stomach.
That's
it's going to happen.
That's terrible, though.
Can you
she
imagine?
Tried so hard.
She thought he was so hot, and he was like on top of her, and she like farted on him. She like basically farted on him.
Like, I think that's really funny, though.
I fart in your general direction. Like,
they literally did not get married. That did not end up.
They did not get married.
Okay.
She did not see him again.
Oh,
and I'm like,
and
who is this hot celeb LA trainer? You know?
Yeah.
Somebody.
He probably gets, you know, fart showers all the time.
I mean, I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to stay professional. It happens.
Yeah.
But awkward.
That is really funny.
Yeah. I don't think I could go back either.
No way.
So that was our third episode. I hope you loved it. If you did love our show, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. Thank you for listening. And if you can't beat them, join them.
And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, please email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
See you next week.